everybody who learns Gemara is familiar with the fact that there were Tanoim and there were Amoraim. We assume the end of the period of the Tanoim is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Then the end of the period of the Amoraim is Rabbeinu Ravashi, Sof HaRuah. And we usually assume that Amoraim have no right to disagree with Tanoim. Very often the Gemara will quote a member of an Amora, and then they'll ask, how can he say that? But it's against the Mishnah, against the Braisa. So the Gemara will say, Tiyufta, he's wrong. Sometimes the Gemara has a Kasha, and the Gemara says Kasha. So that's two opinions in the Rashbam later, in Cheskes Abatim, later in the Perek, whether Kasha is the same as Tiyufta or not. We usually assume Kasha is not the same. Kasha means you have a good Kasha, where there's a good Teretz, and the Gemara didn't bother to tell us the Teretz. And in fact, there's a sefer that's called Kashas Meyushav. Every time the Gemara says Kasha, so this sefer tells you what the Rishonim say, what the Teretz is on the Kasha. In some old Gemaras, in the Vilna Shas, they don't have it. But some of the older editions of other editions of the Gemara, they took that half a page, that page of Terutzim, in every Mesichta, how often does it say Kasha? Two or three times. So every time it says Kasha, so they'll have in their back that page from the Sefer Kashas Meyusha to tell you what the Teretz is, the Gemara's Kasha. Whenever it says Tiyufta, that means Obgefrekt. Means that we reject that Amoira because he's against the Mishnah, against the Brice. Whenever it says Kasha, the accepted opinion is like that view in the Rashbam. Kasha, not the same as Tiyufta. Means Kasha means there's a good Kasha and there's a good Teretz on the Kasha. So the question is, where did this rule come from? Salach al Moshe Messina, that Amoraim don't have the right to disagree with the Tanaim. Why can't the Amor disagree with the Tana? Here the Gemara says, Anadav, the Chitema Rav Tanahu Palik. The Gemara has that in different places. They list it off on the side. Erevin, Ksubas, Gittin, Sanhedrin, Chulin, all these places it says Rav Tanahu Palik. Rav was the first generation of Amoraim. He got smicha from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and he held that he had the right to disagree with Tanoim. So where he had that, he felt that he was a Tana. He had the right to disagree. He was a Tana. If he would have been an Amora, he wouldn't have the right to disagree. Where did this rule come from, that you can't disagree with Tanoim? So some say that is based on the Gemara in the first Perek and Maseches Avodah Zarah, the end of Rosh Hashanah. Also, the Gemara appears that there's a tradition that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. Shis Alfei Shnin Havi Alma. The world will last for 600 years. What's going to happen at the year 6,000? It's going to disappear. It's going to explode. It's unclear what's going to happen in the year 6,000. The Ramchal, the author of the Mesillas Yesharim, has an essay about this. He doesn't think that the world is going to explode, not going to disappear. It's going to continue, but it's going to be a different style of a world. Not going to be the same way it is now. It's going to be different. He has a whole discussion. What's going to be different exactly? But the Gemara has such a tradition. She's selfish, nin havi alma. In fact, there's a commentary by the Rakeach on Chumash. Rakeach was one of the later Balei HaTosfos. He has a lot of Kabbalah. Every so often, the Shach will quote from the Rekeach. Shach on Yeridei will quote from the Rekeach. So the Rekeach has on the opening pasuk, Bereishis Bo Elokim, Es HaShemayim, Es HaOret, that there are six Alephs in the opening pasuk of Chumash, and Aleph means 1,000. Six Alephs is a reference to the fact that the Rebbe Shalom created the world in such a way it's going to last for 6,000 years. Shis Alfen Shnin Havyam. Okay. So then the Gemara says, and the 6,000 years of this world as we know it today is broken down into three parts. 2,000 years is Tohu, and 2,000 years is Torah, and 2,000 years is Yimos HaMashiach. What do you mean Tohu? That people were worshipping Avodah Zarah. And in the Chumash, you look in Parshas Bereishis Noach, it says Adam Sheis Enesh Kenem Ahalalel. It says in the Chumash, in the Parsha is Bereishis Noach, how old was Adam Rishon when Sheis was born? How old was Sheis when his son, Adam Sheis Enosh, Kenem Ahalalel, Yeret, Chanoch, and so on, how old was each one? So if you add up how old they were, you'll see that Avraham Avinu is born in the year 1948, Libriya Soilam. And then the Gemara says 1948 plus 52 is 2000. So when Avraham Avinu, the Gemara says we have a historical tradition. When Avraham Avinu reached the age of 52, he started preaching monotheism publicly. And Nefesh Asher Asa B'charan, that we have a tradition, Avraham Avinu started that at the age of 52. So that's called the beginning of the Shnei Halachim Torah. Shnei Halachim Torah was from the year 2000. Maimon HaSinai was way later. Avraham Avinu is teaching monotheism, that's way before Maimon HaSinai. So several centuries later took place Maimon HaSinai. Then you have the Tanoim, and then is the year 4000. The year 4000 was approximately 20 years or so after the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And then, starting from the year 4000 to the year 6000, is called the Tkufa Vimos HaMashiach, the Gemara says, and it means that Mashiach can come at any time. Mashiach, we have a tradition. Mashiach is not going to come before the year 4000. And the year 4000 was a few years after the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So that's a question that begs itself. How did Rabbi Akiva think that Bar Kochva was the Melech HaMashiach? It was before the year 4000. So the Gemara, I think, presents that Rabbi Akiva never heard of this tradition. This tradition, that's what they told Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was it. The Rambam writes as if Rabbi Akiva and all the Chachamim in his generation all thought mistakenly they were supporting Bar Kochva in his rebellion against the Roman government. And they all thought that he's going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. In the Gemara, it's not like the way Rambam presents it. The Gemara presents it that Rabbi Akiva was the only one. He thought Bar Kochva was going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. And his real name was Shimon Bar Kuziva. And Rabbi Akiva gave him a nickname, Bar Kochva, because the Pasuk says in the Ruas Bilam, and Parshas Balak, Dorach Kochav Miyankov, Kom Shevid Miyisrael. So Dorach Kochav Miyankov, that's referring to the Melech HaMashiach. So Bar Kochav was the nickname, Bar Kuziva was his real name. So Rabbi Akiva thought that he may turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach, and all the other Rabbanim disagreed. The Yerushalmi tells the story, and they said to Rabbi Akiva, Yalu Asavim Bilchayecha, you will be dead and buried, and you'll be, as the English expression goes, you'll be pushing daisies. It means that flowers will be growing on top of your grave. Adayim ben David loyba, because it's not yet the year 4000. Mashiach, they had a tradition. It's going to be 6000 years. Imos HaMashiach can't be before the year 4000. Aydi Gemara has an agarite that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was considering making Chizkiyo HaMelech, the Melech HaMashiach, that was way before. That was way before the year 4000. But because he didn't sing Shira, we just had that Haftarah, the Marbe HaMisra. So the Mem in Marbe HaMisra is a Mem Stuma, but it's in the middle of a word. So it should have been a Mem Psucha. So Gemara says, the reason why it's in the Novi Yishai, the reason why it's a Mem Stuma, because Chizkiyahu HaMelech was so simpiv, he should have given Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the enemies didn't attack Yerushalayim, should have given Shira, and he didn't. So that's why he lost the opportunity to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. So the Mefarshim on the Gemara asked that kasha. How could the Rabban Shalom consider making Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Melech HaMashiach if the plan is Mashiach is not going to come before the year 4000? So I say the Rabban Shalom was planning to make an exception to the rule. He was so happy about Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He was so in love with the Jewish people, he would have changed the whole plan. But because he didn't say Shira, so he didn't change the plan, so he left it the way it is. So that's the Gemara. The world will last for 6,000 years. Something is going to change at the year 6,000. And the 6,000 years have a breakdown. 2,000 years Tohu, till Avraham Avinu reaches the age of 52, and he's preaching monotheism in public, and that's called Shnei Halachim Torah. Torah means when the public is, when we're preaching Torah in the public. And then Shnei Halachim Mos HaMashiach. So the Maharsha is bothered with the kasha nad gemar and the chidushi agoda in the first parak and avodah zarah. What do you mean shnei halachim Torah? But I'm still around. The Mashiach is still around and he's learning Torah. That's way after. That's already in the last unit of 2,000 years. And there were Amoraim. Most of the Amoraim were after the shnei halachim Torah. Shnei Lofim Torah ended approximately after the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, 20 years or so after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died. So what do you mean Shnei Lofim Torah? So the Marsha says it doesn't mean like that. It means the Shnei Lofim Tohu before there was Torah in public, and there Shnei Lofim Mos HaMashiach. Shnei Lofim Torah means that it's no longer Tohu, but it's not yet Yemos HaMashiach, but the Torah continues throughout. The Torah is not restricted to the Shnei Lofim Torah. The Torah begins with the year 2000 when Avraham Avinu is preaching monotheism at public on Nefesh HaShirasa B'chor, and it continues throughout. That's what the Maharsha says. Chazon Ish is not happy with that, so he says he thinks that it's not B'mashma the Gemara. It says Shnei Lofim Tohu means only 2000. Shnei Lofim Mos HaMashiach is only those 2000. So Shnei Lofim Torah also means only 2000. So what does that mean? There's no learning of the Torah after the year 4000. There is. So the Chazon Ish thinks that what it means is that after the Tkufas Shnei Lofim Torah, he can't come up with any new concepts in Halacha. He can juggle around the concepts that appear in the Gemara and determine whether they apply in any given case. He can make a mamatzina, but like we have a din pikuach nefesh is decha kol haTorah kula. We have a topic yesh brei. We have an encyclopedia Talmudit. That's 2,500 arachim. And all of these concepts were developed during the Shnei Lofim Torah. You can't come up with new concepts after the Shnei Lofim Torah. Chazon Ish came up with a lot of chidushim before the Chazon Ish and after the Chazon Ish. But these are chidushim, but not, he didn't come up with any new concepts in halacha. He juggled around all the old ideas that appear in the Gemara and put together different Gemaras, and he came up with chidushim. But that he can't come up with new concepts and no new ideas. All the building blocks of halacha had to have been developed during the Shnei Lofim Torah. That's what the Chazon Ish says. So others want to say that that's not enough. Shnei Lofim Torah means because there's something special about those 2,000 years between the year 2000 and the year 4000, so that's why the Amoraim have no right to disagree with the Tanoim, because the Chachmei HaMasorah are entitled to an opinion in Halacha. So until the year 4000, everybody had a right to disagree with everybody who preceded him. But after the Shnei Lofim Torah were up, so all of the Talmid HaChamim who were learning after that period have a lower level of Chachmei HaMasorah, and that's why there's a din. They have no right to disagree with those who preceded. So what is this? So Rav held that he has the status like a Tana, because he was still within the 2,000 years of Torah. He was still within the year 2,000, within the 2,000 years of Torah. So on this topic, Rav Tanahu Palig, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asked the Kasha of Rav Chaim, that there's a Tosfos in Ksubis on Daf Ches, that's one of the Marmakamis here. What's this? Ksubis Daf Ches. In the letter Gimel, they give you a few cross references where the Gemara has this statement, Rav Tanahu Pali. So in Ksubis Daf Ches, it's in the middle of the Sheva Brachas Gemara. Gemara lists off which are the seven brachas that you recite under the Chuppah. And the same seven brachas are recited when you have a party, the Shivas Yemei HaMishta, in honor of the Chasan Kala. So you say the Sheva brachas. So the Gemara there says that Rav Tanahu Palag, Rav disagrees with Tanoim. So Tosis points out that from the Sugya is Muchach, that Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav. Rav Yochanan Hall held that Rav did not have the right to disagree with Tanoim. Rav was not a Tanahu Palag. He held that Rav had the status of an Amoira. He didn't have the status of a Tana. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman asked the Kasha of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, we have a klal in the Gemara, that Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan, halachic Rabbi Yechanan. Whenever there's a machloek, there's Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan. So we always paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. So if Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with Rab, he holds that it's not true. Rab Tanahu Palag, he holds that Rabbi Yechanan is an Amor, he has no right to disagree with Tanoim. How come every time the Gemara says Rab Tanahu Palag, here the Gemara says, mistakenly, the chitema, and if you'll apply the rule, Rav Tanapal, it's not true because he doesn't disagree. the Gemara says. But in the other cases, Itaka disagrees with the Tanaim. And every time the Gemara quotes Rav Tan Lokvale, he passed like Rav who disagrees with the Tanaim. So Rav Chanan was bothered with Akasha, but Taisu shows from Ksuvas Davches that Rav Yechanan disagrees with Rav's attitude. He holds that Rav did not have the right to disagree with Tanoim. And whatever this machleg is Rav Yechanan, halachic Rav Yechanan. So how come we don't paskin? How come we don't paskin like Rav Yechanan? We should not follow Rav whenever he disagrees with Tanoim based on Rav Tanu. That's what Rav Chanan asked Rav Chaim. So he quoted the Talmidim wrote the notes from the Kovet Shiurim of Rav Chanan. So the Talmidim wrote the notes. So Rav Chanan said, the Rav Chaim commented to him, there is no such klal that an Amora can disagree with the Tana. Amora has a right to disagree with the Tana. So Zayin, even if you hold he's an Amora, he still has a right to disagree with the Tana. That's what he quotes from Rav Chaim. So what do you mean? But what is the Gemara making a Tiyufta? And the Gemara quotes an Amora said it did, and they say it's against all the Tanaim, and they say Tiyufta, we can't accept the opinion of the Amora. But if you take the din is that the Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanaim, so why does the Gemara make it Tiyufta? So the Rabbi Hanan doesn't explain. So that's the case of Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. The Rambam has different sections. So he has a section Hilchas Mamrim that you have to listen to authority. So he has the dinim of Kibbut Aviyim. He has the dinim of Zaka Mamre there, Ben Zora Mora. That's Mamre, people who are rebelling against the authority. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim that the Dezen HaGodol Shebi Yerushalayim are the Amudi HaHoiroa, the Ika Torah Shebal Peh. They transmit the Torah Shebal Peh from generation to generation. And the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dor Vador are entitled to their opinions, even in disagreement with those who preceded them, and you don't have to have greater b'chachma over minya. The Gemara says, "Akruel ain bezn yochel levatol divi bezn chaverim ken gadol hemene b'chachma over minya." A later bezn cannot disagree with an earlier bezn unless the later bezn is greater b'chachma over minya. So the Rambam quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's only that a later bezin cannot repeal a rabbinic enactment that was instituted by an earlier bezin. But if the earlier bezin darshan's the pasuk one way, and the later bezin thinks that that's not the way to darshan, they darshan it differently, the later bezin has a right to reverse the psak of the early bezin. They don't have to be graded b'chachma v'minyan. That's the Rishami, the beginning of Shvius. This year is Shnas HaShmita. So the opening Mishnah in Shvius says that you're only allowed to plant trees on Shana Hashishis till a certain point. And in the towards the last couple months in the Shana Hashishis, there's a din of Masif and Mechoil Ala Kodesh. There's a din of Tosef and Shviz. And there's a machlekes, Bisham and Bisilil, how far in advance of Rosh Hashanah, of Shnas Hashmita, does the din of Tosef Shviz set in? Then the Yerushalmi says that whatever it says in the Mishnah, we don't pass them like that. Rabbi Gamliel came along and he did away with the old din of Tosef Shviz. No din of Tosef. So Yerushalmi asks, how does he have the right to do that? But Bisham and Bisilil, well, Bisman Abayis. So did he think, Rabbi Gamliel, who's the chief rabbi later after the Churban Abayis, he thought that he was greater b'chochma v'minyan than Talmidei Bishamai and Bisilil put together? Talmidei Bisham and Bisilil argue about the details, how long before Shemitah do you have to observe Tosef HaShviyas? But they both subscribe to the idea that there is halacha of Tosef HaShviyas. Some even claim it's halacha Moshe Mesinai. Imar has two opinions, whether it's a pasuk or it's halacha Moshe Mesinai. So how can it be that Rabbi Gamliel disagrees? So Yerushalmi answered, B'shosha Osru Lamikra Samchu, B'shosha Hitiru Lamincha Samchu. When the Bisham and the Bisil came up with their idea of Tosef HaShviyas, it was based on the way they darshan the Psukim and Chumash. And then in later generation, when Rabbi Gamliel decided to do away with the whole institution of Tosef HaShviyas, B'shosha Hitiru, Lamikra Samcha was also based on a pasuk. And that's what the Rambam writes. All the Rishonim on the first Mishnah in Shviyas quote this. The Rash and the Rush and all of the Mepharshim, they all quote this from Yerushalmi. And the Tosis and Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes quotes it. The Gemara said there's a din of Masif and Mechoel al HaKodesh on Shabbos, on Yontif, on Yom Kippur, on Knas HaShemitah. So then the Tosfos quotes this Yerushalmi. All the Rishonim quote this Yerushalmi. Whenever you're disagreeing, a later Chacham has a right to disagree with an earlier Desdin. So the Gemara says, of course, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, of course, Bayam Imahim. What are you going to go to the cemetery and go ask Rav Chaim Oizer in his grave? He's not going to answer. I don't know. They say the last Lubavitcher Rebbe used to go all the time to the cemetery where his father-in-law is buried. The sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe was his father-in-law. And he used to daven there. He got answers on Shabbos that he has. I don't know what he, maybe he davened there. But he didn't daven to the Rebbe, he davened to the Rebbe Shalom. So what does it mean in the Pasuk? V'asal l'shavet sheyeh b'yamim ha'im, ein l'chal l'shavet sheyeh b'yamech, yiftech b'dor k'ishmol b'dor. The Gemara says, even if the rabbi in your generation is not as learned as the rabbi in the earlier generation. And we know what the rabbi in the early generation said on this. He wrote a sefer. Rav Chaim Oizer wrote a sefer, and we know what his opinion is. Rav Moshe Feinstein reads Rav Chaim Oizer's form, and he sees that Rav Chaim Oizer was a bigger genius. Rav Moshe was a tremendous genius. He knew a lot of Gemaras by heart. He knew a lot of Pima Gardens by heart. But he was the first one to say that Rav Chaim Oizer was a bigger genius. Nechsam Sefer and the Nodi Beauty were bigger than him. But very often, Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with Rav Chaim Oizer, with the Vilna Gaon, with the Shach, with the Nodi Yehuda, with many poskim. So that's the din. Yiftach bedora kishmo bedora. Yiftach was one of the shoftim. He was not as learned as Shmuel HaNavi. But in the generation of Yiftach, he was the poisek. So he's entitled to his opinion, even though it's in disagreement with those who preceded him who were greater in learning. Only applies if the later Bezin wants to repeal the rabbinic enactment that was instituted by the earlier Bezin. But if they're arguing how to read Pshat and the Pasuk, how to read in between the words, how to darshan the klal of prat the klal, how to make a mamatzin or kalvachayim, binyanah, whatever it is, you have to ask the shefet in your generation. In fact, the Gemara tells us that the style of doing Nisach HaYayin was changed after the 7 years of Golus Bavel. And the Bais Rishayin, Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he saw to it that they built it, so he paskin how they should do the Nisach HaYayin one way. Then the Gemara says the Bais Rishayin was destroyed and it wasn't in commission for 7 years. Then Ezra came back from Bavel, Ezra brought a lot of Jews back from Bavel, they completed the building of the Bais Sheni, and Ezra decided to read the Psukim differently, and the whole Tkufa of the Bais Sheni, the Bais Rishon lasted for 410 years, Bais Sheni lasted longer. So the whole, all the centuries of the Bais Sheni, they didn't do the Nisach HaYayin the same way they did in the Bais Rishon, because Ezra darshaned the Pasuk differently, they followed his drasha. So the Sasemis asked the question on the Gemara in Zvachim, that's the Gemara in Zvachim, that the Nisach HaYayin was done differently. So this Sasemis on the Gemara in Zvachim asks, he means to say that for 410 years of the whole period of the Bais Rishon, nobody was ever yotze in the mitzvah of Nisach HaYayin because they did it wrong. So he gives a complicated answer based on Hasidus and Kabbalah. He doesn't give a straightforward answer. So the Pashtus is that we assume Eilu Eilu Divri Elikim Chai. You assume during the Tkufa of the Bais Rishon, because the Chachamim in that generation darshan the Pasuk that way, so that was the way they were mechuyev to do the Nisach HaYayin. And then in the period of the Bais Sheni, they're not supposed to follow blindly the Bais Rishon. If they think that the people in the Bais Rishon didn't darshan the Pasuk correctly, even if they'll respect them and they'll think that they're greater b'chachma v'minyan, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be greater b'chachma v'minyan to be entitled to disagree with the previous Talmud Chacham. So in the Bais Sheni, they darshan the Pasuk differently, and they did the Nisach HaYayin differently. That's not Akasha. So that's what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamre. The Bezdin HaGodl Sheb Yerushalayim or the Amuri HaHero Nika Torah Sheb Alpeh, they have the right to darshan the Pesukim Enoch HaLashef Sheb Yamecha Yiftach Bedoro Kishmo Bedoro. And the requirement for Godel B'men and B'chach M'minyan is only applicable if you want to repeal the rabbinic enactment, but it had a darshan, the psukim, that in every generation, Talmid Chachamim darshan the way they want. So the Kesef Mishnah asks a kasha, according to the Rambam, it's not the Rambam, all the Rishonim quote that Yerushalmi, that's the Yerushalmi on the first Mishnah in Shvius. According to that Yerushalmi, so how does the Gemara ever make a Tiyufta against an Amora? An Amora has a right to disagree with a Tana. So the Kesef Mishnah says, Anachinami, there is no such rule. Amoraim have no right to disagree with a Tanaim. But the Amoraim had an attitude. They accepted upon themselves an attitude. They're not going to disagree with all the Tanaim. If they'll see a Machlokes in the days of the Tanaim, and the consensus was one way, in the days of the Tanaim, the Rav, the majority opinion was one way, but there was a minority opinion. So then they'll feel free, the Amoraim would feel free to adopt the disagreeing opinion, the minority opinion, and reverse the Psak. That's called Mishnah Rishayna, Mishnah Achrayna, Vezin Shalach Reim Amru. In the later generation, the consensus shifted, and they pasken differently. But if the Amoraim would see that all the Tanaim say in one direction, no one says the way they think, then they had the attitude they're not going to take on all the Tanaim. They're not going to disagree with everybody. And Rav never had that attitude. Rav Tanahu Palik, that was Machlokes, Rav Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan held that Rav didn't have the right to disagree with the Tanaim. He felt that more correct would have been that Rav should not disagree with all the Tanaim. And Rabbi Yechanan felt not so. He felt that he's close enough to the Tanoim. He was close enough to Rabbi Yudah Nossi and to other Tanoim in his generation that he feels free to disagree, even if all the Tanoim say in one direction. But Enachanami, Rabbi Chana Wasserman says, if an Amoira will just disagree with all the Tanoim, he thinks that it's just lo bo b'cheshbon. The Shita of the Tanoim is unreasonable. You see, the Amoraim a lot of times had like this. I can see Panim Leheta, Panim Leiser. I think it makes more sense to say Leiser. But if all the Tanaim say Mutos, I give in. I can understand the Tzad to say Heta, I can understand the Tzad to say Yis. I think it makes more sense this way. But if all the Tanaim say that way, it will follow that Shita. But let's say one of the Amoraim in a later generation, five generations later, one of the Amoraim think that it's utterly ridiculous. He absolutely cannot fathom why anybody should say the other Tzad. If they absolutely don't agree with what the Tanaim say, they would disagree. And you have cases, the Malchamas has in Bava Kama, a few cases in the Gemara where the Amoraim disagree with Tanaim, and then no Tanaim said like them. And they don't say to Yufta. The Amoraim do have a right to disagree with Tanaim. If they can see both Tzadim, Panim Lakan and Panim Lakan, and they think it's more Mistaba one way, so then if they see all the Tanaim say the other way, then they're going to give in to the Tanaim. But if they can't see the both Tanaim, the only thing one way is correct, the other way is absolutely incorrect. They have the right to, and they would disagree with the Tanaim, and we will paskin like the Amoraim. There is no din that Amoraim can't disagree with Tanaim. So the Pashtus is, maybe we should accept what the Chazon Ish said about the Shnei Alafim Torah. He disagreed with the Maharsha. The Maharsha said Shnei Alafim Torah is not restricted to the Shnei Alafim. Means Shnei Alafim Torah is not yet higia this man of Imos HaMashiach. But in the last 2,000 years, where it's possible for Mashiach to come, so it's still part of the Torah. The Torah is not restricted to the 2,000. That's what the Maharsha said. And the Chazon Ish didn't think that was correct. He thought Shnei Alafim Tohu is only 2,000. Shnei Alafim Imos HaMashiach is only 2,000. Shnei Alafim Torah is also only those 2,000. How can it be? But all the Rishonim and all the Achrayim and the Chazon Ish included, they're all in the Shnei Alafim Imos HaMashiach. So that's what the Chazon Ish thinks, that the building blocks of Halacha, the concepts, had to be developed in the kuf of Shnei Alafim Torah. You can't come up with new concepts today. Maybe we'll form a Bezna Gadol. Maybe we'll be Machriya on certain things that the Gemara left as a teiku, or the Gemara has as one side. Maybe we'll reverse some of the Pesachim. But you can't come up with new ideas after the Shnei Alafim Torah ended. That's what the Chazon Ish said. But to say that Amoraim Alpidin have no right to disagree with Tanaim, that doesn't make sense. You can't take this idea. Shnei Alafim Torah, so those Amoraim who came after the Shnei Alafim Torah have a lower level Alpidin of Chachmei HaMasorah, you can't say that. Because we know that every so often there is an Amora who says a din, a disagreement with all the Tanaim, and we pass on like the Amoraim. So you have to say what the Kesem Mishnah said. And that's what Rabbi Chanan quotes from Rabbi Chaim like that, the same as the Kesem Mishnah. You can't say for another reason also. There is a historical issue, that when we were learning the beginning of Bava Basra, the opening Dafim, so the assumption is that the Bais Rishon lasted 410 years, that says in Tanakh. And the Bais Sheni lasted 420 years, that's a historical statement that the Gemara makes. So the Goyish history books list off so many different kings. Tanakh also lists off a lot of kings. The Goyish history books list off a lot of kings, and we assume these were all different kings, one after the other after the other. So it's not that they argue the point, they say the Bais Sheni didn't last 420 years. It lasted another 165 years, more than the 420 years. So the whole assumption that the cutoff point between Shnei Halachim and Torah, Shnei Halachim and Moshe Mashiach, was 20 years after the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, that's all based on the assumption, going with the history of the Gemara, that the Bais Sheni only lasted 420 years. But if you assume the Bais Sheni lasted 165 years longer than that, so everything is off kilter. The whole cheshbon is off kilter. So the cutoff point is not going to be after the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. It's going to be 165 years earlier than that. So that whole, that's very questionable. That suggestion that the Chachmei HaMasoreh, after the Shnei Halachim Torah, have a lower level, Chachmei HaMasoreh, than those before. We said a different comment. That's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, that the Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah lists off Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, so he lists off 40 generations, and he counts 1, 2, 3, till 40. So number one is Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Yishuv Ben Nun, he's the first generation. Then he gave to Rabbeinu Ravashi, that's number 40. So the Meiri, in his Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos, goes the same 40 generation that the Rambam has, and then he continues after Rabbeinu Ravashi, who were the Rabbanos Havaroi and the Gaonim who gave the tradition of the Torah to the next generation, till he personally learned the Torah by his father. His father got it from this Rebbe, from that Rebbe, from that Rebbe. The Rambam could have continued the Masorah also. The Rambam knew the Masorah from Rabbeinu Ravashi till his own day also. How come the Rambam didn't write it? So Moshe Soloveitchik thought that Al Pidin, until Rabbeinu Ravashi, they had a higher level of Chachmei HaMasoreh. That the Gemara has, we mentioned the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, Zeh Sefer Tolos Adam. So the Gemara said, what does it mean that the Chamish Ulchum Shel Torah is a history book of mankind? If it's intended to be a history book, it's very poorly written. Hey Mukhtam HaMilcha B'Torah, it's not chronologically in order, and a lot of things are missing. If this is, it doesn't seem to be a history book. So the Gemara says, Zeh Sefer Tolos Adam doesn't mean that the Chamish Ulchum Shel Torah were intended as a history of mankind. It's not at all a history of mankind. It's a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon, when he created Adam HaRishon, day number one, he showed him a book, Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon. It's called, not authored by Adam HaRishon, authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but shown to Adam HaRishon, Dor Dor B'Doshav, Dor Dor B'Chachamav, Dor Dor B'Soif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings behind the scenes to see to it that world history should develop the way he wants. We don't understand this the way he wants. Everybody's killing each other and all the rebellions and the blacks and the whites. It's a fella we don't understand. We don't understand a lot of things. And also, Dor Dor B'Chachamav, Dor Dor B'Doshav, how the Torah will develop over the years, how the Torah will develop. So the Gemara quotes snippets in the Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon about how the Torah is going to develop. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia Peivav says that Rav and Shmuel were both living in Eretz Yisrael, and they both decided that they're going to move to Bavel, because the Jews in Bavel were very religious in their hearts, but they were big amaratzim. So they were violating all the dinim, Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha, Hilchos Kashrut. They were violating everything, because they were not learning. So Rav and Shmuel, each one, they lived in Eretz Yisrael, they decided they're going to go back to Bavel, going to go to Bavel and establish big yeshivas. So the Gemara said, beginning of Git, Mechayosa Rav the Bavel, after Rav came to Bavel and he established the big yeshiva, Shmuel made a yeshiva. So the level of learning was tremendous. There was way different from the way it was before Rav came to Bavel. Before Rav came to Bavel, they didn't know any dinim. They didn't know right to get lishma. The Gemara says they were not all bikiyim, and the din that a get has to be lishma. Today everybody knows you have to write a get lishma. before Rav came to Bob, there was a lot of Amoratzis. So the Gemara says Rav got smicha before he left the Bavel, and Shmuel wasn't zecha to get smicha, and the boat was leaving, so he left. He didn't have smicha. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi felt very bad why he wasn't zecha to give smicha to Shmuel. He was going to Shem Shamayim to found the yeshiva and Bavel, and then they told Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, don't feel bad. It says in the Sefer Shalom Rishon, you're going to be two contemporaries, Rav and Shmuel. Rav will get smicha and Shmuel will not get smicha. Chacham Yiskiri, Rabbi Lo Yiskiri. He was known as an astronomer. Shmuel Yarchino, he was a big astronomer. He won't be known as a rabbi. So the Marsha says that because Rav got smicha and Shmuel didn't, that's why Hilchas and Kerabi Yisuri. That's why most of the time when there's a machlekes, Rav and Shmuel and Issa Vehetta, that's why most of the time he passed like Rav, because Rav got smicha and Shmuel didn't. I don't know, but usually most of the time Hilchas and Shmuel bedine. So if he got smicha, why don't we pass like Rav? And I don't know. That's what the Marsha says in the Chidush Agor. But the reason why Hilchas Kerav be Yisurei is because Rav succeeded in getting smicha shmodin. So Ramosha Soloveitchik suggested that the Rambam only quotes the Seder HaMasorah from Yeshua ben Nun, but she came to say Masorah Yeshua, he's generation number one, till Rabbeinu Abashi, and it stops. Why doesn't the Rambam do like the Meiri to write till his generation? So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik suggested that most of the history books assume, and most of the Achrayim assume, that even though Rabbi Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnayos, he didn't write them down, and the Mishnayos was still being recited Baal Peh. When did they? It's a din Dvarim Sheh Baal Peh. You're not supposed to write down B'Ksav. You're not supposed to give a Shir Mitoch HaKsav. We do it all the time. We're reading a Gemara, we're reading Mishnais, we're reading Rambams and Shulchan Aruch, and we're giving a running commentary. But that's really not supposed to be like that. So the Gemara says in Temura, in the second paragraph, that's a heta based on the Pasuk, Eslas Lashem, Eferet Torasecha. The Amoraim were afraid the whole Torah was going to be forgotten, so they allowed the writing down of the Torah Shabbat Peh. When did they write down the Torah Shabbat Peh? So most of the Achrayim assume, and most of the history books assume, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnah, so it was still being recited orally. They didn't write it down till the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina Rav Ashi edited the Talmud Bavli, but it was still being recited Baal Peh till deep into the days, centuries later, deep into the days of the Geonim. And there was a dispute in the days of Geonim. Should you permit the writing down of the Talmud Bavli? And as we said, the mazel was that they voted that they did write it down. Otherwise, everything would have been forgotten. So the reason why the Rambam only quotes the Seder Masor to Ravina Rav Ashi, because Al Pidin, after the days of Ravina Rav Ashi, they used to teach Mishnais Mitoch HaKsav. So Al Pidin, that's a lower level of Chachmei HaMasor. So that's why we assume Ravina Rav Ashi, Soif HaYiro, it says in Choshim Mishpon and Simen Chof Hei. Simen Chof Hei, Choshim Mishpon is a famous Simen, the Simen about Tor B'Shikol Adas. Masech Sanhedrin, that's a very famous sugya. If a bezdin made a mistake, b'shikol adas, and they awarded the money to the, there was a din tor between Reuben and Shimon, they awarded the money to the wrong person. So what's the din? Can they reverse the psak? And if they can't reverse the psak, do they have to make good from their own pocket? So it's a complicated topic, long, long, very long balamor, and a long riff, and a long shach, very long shach, and simach hafei. So the Ramor writes there in Simen Chof Hei, he quotes from earlier sources. Ramor lived in the 1500s, but he's quoting from the 1300s, from the 1200s. That what if a Talmud Chacham in our generation has a psak from one of the Goyim or the Shulchan Aruch, and he thinks that it's wrong? So the Ramor quotes, you better consult contemporaries of yours, you may be making a mistake. But if after consulting and presenting your argument, your contemporaries agree with you, and they think you brought good rayas to show that the psak from the Goyim is incorrect, the psak from the Shulchan Aruch is incorrect, then you're not allowed to paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. There's a pasuk in Chumash that a dayan is not allowed to. It says, "Lasisa p'nei dal." Let's say there's a poor man and a wealthy man have a din Torah. The old din Torah is about $25. So why should you, even if the rich man deserves to win, let the rich man give him $25 as tzedakah. So the Chumash says you're not allowed to paskin that the rich man win. The poor man wins, and the rich man should give him $25 at tzedakah. You can recommend he should give tzedakah. You have to give an honest psak on the case. L'sisa p'nei dal. Then there's another din in Chumash, l'sisa p'nei gadol. You're not allowed to paskin a favor. There's a term between the rabbi and a balabas. How can you paskin against the rabbi? You have to paskin a favor of the rabbi. Then whisper to the rabbi that you're wrong. You should really give the money. You're not allowed to paskin like that. So that's the accepted position. You're not allowed to paskin like Rabbi Yosef Karo if you think that he's wrong. That's what the Vilna Gaon told Rabbi Chaim Balozhina. There's a sefer that's called Chutam Shulosh. As the tshuvas from Rabbi Chaim Balozhina and from his two sons-in-law who were also Rosh Yeshiva in Balozhin. One is Ablezer Itche, Ablezer Yitzchak, and one is Rabbi Hillel. Most people only read the first third, Rabbi Chaim Balozhina's tshuvas, but... So in the first third, Rabbi Chaim Balozhin's tshuvas, he has one tshuva. He says the Vilna Gaon instructed him that when he has a shaila and he works out what the din is and he comes to the conclusion against the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. If you're fully convinced that you're right, Shulchan Aruch is wrong, how many people are so fully convinced? The Vilna Gaon was fully convinced. So he often would disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. Most people are not so fully convinced. We have rayas, but we know the rayas are not so conclusive. The Ramban has such a famous line in his introduction to the Mochamas. He says, Talmud is not like geometry, that you can have rigorous proofs. Even if something seems to be 100% against the Gemara, usually there's a way to wiggle out from the Raya, and you can maintain the other Shita. That's what the Ramban often does in the Mochamas. The Mochamas comes to defend the Rif from the Hasagas of the Balamor. But a lot of times the Ramban agrees with the Balamor, but he just was upset why the Balamor heaped such abuse on the Rif. He writes with such chutzpah attacking the Rif. You can defend the Rif. I personally think the Rif is wrong also, but I wouldn't, the Ramban said, I wouldn't attack him like that. So that's, so the Ramor has this from the earlier generation. He says, if the Talmud Chacham in our generation is fully convinced that the Pesach and Shulchan Aruch is wrong, but the Pesach and the Tshuvas HaGoyim is wrong, so you better consult your contemporaries, explain why you think the Goyim are wrong, and give your rayas. And then if they think that you're right, then you have to paskin the way you think. So what if a person is fully convinced that the Pesach and the Gemara is wrong? You should paskin against it. There used to be a Professor Zeitlin, Solomon Zeitlin. He's famous, he printed a book in English. The name of the book is Who Killed Jesus? Solomon Zeitlin. On the title page, that's what it says. Yeah. He wasn't so learned at all. He used to be in Dropsy College in Philadelphia. How late's on this? When the Middle States came to evaluate the Yeshiva many years ago, I remember twice when Middle States came. So they evaluated the learning also. So I remember once Solomon Zeitler came. He listened, he spoke to Rabbi Soloveitchik a little bit, then he came into the kollel. So he started talking, learning with the boys. He was an Amoritz Goma. He didn't know what besichta. He was mixing up on besichta, but then he didn't know how to learn. Anyway, so this Solomon Zeitler used to publish essays, the Jewish Quarterly Review. They used to publish four times a year soft cover scholarly journals, they call it, Jewish Quarterly Review. So he would quote a Gemara. The Gemara has a kasha, the Gemara gives a teretz, and that's the din. So he would say, v'zen nirali doichik, v'nirali l'taretz. He gives his own answer on the Gemara's kasha. He's going to pass in his own shalom. So the Ramah writes, Ramah quotes from the earlier sources, if you're fully convinced that the Goyna made a mistake, you have to present it to your contemporaries and tell them your argument and tell them how you interpret all the Gemaras. And if they think that you're right, then you have to paskin the way you think, not like the Goyim. So what if you're fully convinced that the Gemara made a mistake? So he says, no, you can't argue with the Gemara. So the Bi'ur Agro writes, how do you know you can't argue with the Gemara? Because the Gemara says they had snippets, they had section lines in the Sefer Shalot HaMarishon, that Gemara in towards the end of Bava Metzia, Peivav. So the Gemara says, one line in the Sefer Shalot HaMarishon says, Ravina of Ravashi, Soif Ayro. That's the end of the line where they paskin, Chachmei HaMasor paskin Torah Shebal Peh. So in every generation, you have a right to disagree with those who preceded you. The Rambam wrote at the beginning. That's the Rambam from the Yerushalmi, the beginning in the beginning of Masechus Shviyas. But Ravina Rabashi, Soifai Ro Al Pidin. After the days of Ravina Rabashi, that's what Moshe Soloveitchik interpreted. Since starting from Ravina Rabashi, they were teaching Mishnais Mitoch Haksav, so that's Al Pidin, a lower level of Chachmei HaMasor. So those who have Al Pidin, a lower level of Chachmei HaMasor, have no right to disagree with those who have a higher level of Chachmei HaMasor. But there is no Tanoim and Amaroim, even though the Gemara will say it to Yukta, that's not a halachic statement. That was an attitude. That's what the Ges Mishnah writes at the beginning of Hilchos Ban. They had an attitude that if they can see Panim Lakan, they can see both sides of the argument, and they think that one way makes more sense, but then they find all the Tanoim say the other way, so they'll be happy to give in to the other side. But if they absolutely cannot see either, both starting, they think only one is correct and the other one is absolutely wrong, so then the Amoraim will sometimes disagree with Tanoim. So there is no klal that Amoraim have no right to disagree with Tanoim. But Gemara makes it the Ufta, but that's because of the attitude that they had. And that's what the Gemara says, Rav Tanhu Palik. He never had that attitude. He felt that he should be free to disagree with all the Tanoim, even if nobody says like him. Rav Yechanan thought that that's not right. But even Rav Yechanan knew that it's not a halacha, it's an attitude. So Rav disagrees with all the Tanaim. Every time is Rav Tanu Pali, we paskin like Rav. You can't say Rav Yechanan, Lachik Rav Yechanan. It's just, the Machlek says Rav Yechanan, was it right on the part of Rav that he would take on all the Tanaim? He wouldn't care even if all the Tanaim disagreed with him. Rav Yechanan felt it wasn't right, but Al-Pi, then he has a right to, even if you're not a Tana, you do have a right to disagree with all the Tanaim. He thought it wasn't Derech Eretz. But after the Tkufa of Ravina Ravashi, that the Ramah says, no, that's Ravina Ravashi Soifai Ruach. Why? The Moshe Soloveitchik said, because those who came after the days of Ravina Ravashi, that's when they started writing down Mishnais and teaching Mishnais from Toch HaKsav. So all the Talmid HaChamim after that period had a lower level status of Chachmei HaMasor. So they have no right to disagree with those at the higher level. But from the days of Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Ravina Ravashi, Al Pidin, everybody was in the same boat. Everybody had a right to disagree with everybody else. And starting from the generation after Ravina Ravashi, Al Pidin, everybody's in the same boat again. That the Achrenim have a right to disagree with the Goinim. That's what the Ramah said. Achrenim have a right to disagree with Goinim. You just have to discuss it with your contemporaries in here. Here, the Gemara suggests to the Chitema, maybe you'll think Rav Tanhu Palik. It's not true. It's not true. But in the other cases, when it says Rav Tanhu Palik, all the other cases that are referred to in the Masoros HaShanos, there we do pask like Rav, based on Rav Tanhu Palik. So what did the Gemara say over here? The Gemara says, Ha Rav Shmuel Dami Travayu, on the fifth line from the top. What do they both say, Rav Shmuel? Even though they both said, we don't pask like this. What did they both say? Milvapeh is not goyve men halakuchas. That's a Mishnah. That's the Mishnah. The second line from the top. Hamavus chaver b'shtar goyve men chosim shabbat. The might be eidim goyve men chosim ben echer. Milvapeh is not goyve from mishabbat. Mishabbat means from lakuchas. So lakuchas, if it's a milvapeh, you don't collect from lakuchas. That's a Mishnah. What about collecting from Yisrael? That's not discussed in the Mishnah. So that's a machloikah. So Rav Shmuel Dami Chavai, they both hold. The din in the Mishnah applies even to the Yisrael. Ulal peh, en egoi v'lomen ayorshem v'loimen halakuchas. And we don't paskan like that. We paskan like the Gemara Kufayin Hei on the base. The Gemara quotes that this was a big machloikah. But the Milvah peh is goi v'men hayisraimim. And we paskan, yes. Even though the Mishnah says Milvapeh is not Goyvim and Halakuchas, but it is Goyvim and Hayisem. What is the issue? What does it depend on? So the Gemara there on Kufayin Hei Mabeis explains a little bit, not fully, explains a little bit. So the Tosfos here, the top Tosfos explains a little better. We have a lot of times a din in the Chumash, and the Chachamim change the din. Take for example, it says in the Chumash, you have to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The days of Moshe Rabbeinu is only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Chumash says you have to blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't matter whether Rosh Hashanah Choli is b'Shabbos or Choli is b'Chol. On the level of the Raisa, Tkiya shofar is Eina Malacha, the Gemara says. Tkiya shofar is Al-Chachma v'Eina Malacha. It's not any of the 39 Ovis Malacha. So and on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow shofar. So you blow even if it's Choli is b'Shabbos. So the Mishnah has a din, Yontav Shav Rosh Hashanah Shav Choli is b'Shabbos, Ba'migdash ha'yitoken ha'v'loi b'amdin. That's the opening line in the third parak in Rosh Hashanah. Outside of the base, in the base Hamikdash, they blew shofar even Rosh Hashanah fell down on Shabbos. But outside of the base Hamikdash, you don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos. So that's only a din with the Rabban. Gemara first started off with the suggestion from the Yerushalmi, from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, that that's a din deraisa. Then the Bavli backs out. Bavli says, no, it's only a din with the Rabban. That's known as Gzeira de Rabba. Rabba is not the one who invented the Gzeira. It appears in the Mishnayos. It was such an old din that the Yerushalmi thought that it was a din deraisa. But it wasn't invented by Rabba. Rabba is the one who explained what the Gzeira is all about. That who adin mikra Megillah, you don't read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos. You don't shake a lulav when Sukkah, first day Sukkah says a lulav is deraisa. The shaking the lulav all 7 days of Sukkah is only menatora in the Beis Hamikdash. Smachtem lefnei Hashem alkech m'shiv asyamim. Smachtem m'shiv asyamim means you shake a lulav all 7 days. Outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you don't shake a lulav all 7 days. That's only one of the nine takanas of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai. Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai was the chief rabbi for the last 40 years of his life. Gemara says he lived 120 years. The first 40 years, he worked for a living and he retired. He made enough, he made a few million dollars. He retired at the age of 40. Then he sat down to learn at the age of 40 till the age of 80. So when he was 80, he was at that time the biggest Talmid Chacham of his generation. So they appointed him as the chief rabbi. So he was the chief rabbi, the head of the Sanhedrin for 40 years. And during his presidency, during his tenure of being the head of the Sanhedrin, the Gemara has a tradition. He, with his Sanhedrin, passed 9 takanas. Quite a few had to do with the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. A lot of them had to do. Don't remember, it could be the majority of them had to do with the Churban Abay. The B'chai Bai Sheni Vaschari during the lifetime of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai. They're not sure exactly, the Gemara is not sure how old he was, how close to 120 was he. But the Gemara says he made takanas Bizman Abayis and after, he was chief rabbi. During the Binyan Abayis and after the Churban, he was the chief rabbi when the Beis Hamikdash. When the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So he made a takana that you shake a lulav called Shiva, chutz le Beis Hamikdash, zecha le Mikdash. We should remember that such a mitzvah exists when the third Beis Hamikdash will be built. So we should remember there's a mitzvah in the Torah, lulav nito kol Shiva ba Mikdash avaloi ba Medina. But the first day of Sukkot that you shake a lulav, that's a din deraisa. So the first day is the same as Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say that when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, you don't shake a lulav. In the Torah, you shake a lulav even on the first day Sukkot is on Shabbos. But Rabbi explains why the Tanoim made this gzera. The gzera was already bizman abayis. The gzera the Rabbi. Rabbi explains what the gzera is. They had a din in the Rabbanim. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, first day Sukkot is going to fall out on Shabbos also. The 15th of the month is the same as the first day of the month. So when the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, or the first day of Sukkot is also going to be on Shabbos, so you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of Netilas Lulav on the first day. You'll fulfill the mitzvah derabbanon, Lulav Nito Kol Shiva Midrabbanon Zecha LeMikdash, but you won't fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. And the same thing Mikra Megillah. If when Purim in a year, then Purim, Ashushan Purim falls out on Shabbos, you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Gzeira Shemei Averen Et Al Anamis Rishu Sarab. That's the Gzeira de Rabba. So the Tesis explains over here. You have a lot of dinim in the Chumash which the Chachamim make Gzeiras against. So they change certain dinim. So when the Chachamim change a din, they have to have a Tzorach Gadol. If it's a milsad loshchicha, if it's a far-fetched concern, you're afraid once in 1,000 years someone's going to be mechal shabbos. But that's not a valid reason to make everybody crazy. They just say no one should blow shofar. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Because once every 1,000 years, someone's going to forget and carry the shofar. That's ridiculous. But it's a real concern. More than once every 1,000 years, every single time Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, many people will forget and carry a shofar to shul. They'll forget. It has to be a real concern. If it's far-fetched, they have no right to make a gzera de Rabbanan. And it has to be, it can't be a gzera if the concern is that people, many people will violate an avera de Raisa. If the whole concern is that someone's going to violate an avera, many people will violate an avera de Rabbanan, that's not really right. You have no right to make a gzera le gzera. If the whole concern is people are going to violate an avera de Rabbanan, that's not valid cause. You have to have a tzorach gadol. That's a tzorach, but that's a tzorach katan, like a milsa de la shchicha. If it's a far-fetched concern, so that's not sufficient cause to change the din deraisa. You have to have a good cause to change the din. So then Tais says, and you only that's what Tais sums up. You only change the din deraisa to the extent that there's a tzorach. If there's no tzorach, so leave the din deraisa the way it is. So Tais explains, what's this machlokes hamaroyim? You hear Rabbi Shmuel both said one way. They don't pass them like that. We pass the mil ba'al peh is goyv min ha-yoshim. Even though it's not goyv min ha-lakuchas, it is goyv min ha-yoshim. That's the machlokes on kufay and hamer base. So Tosfos just spells out what the Gemara said. The Gemara says like this. If on the level of, there was a machlokes, but the shibura deraisa, or shibura lav deraisa. So what does it mean, shibura deraisa, lav deraisa? So we spoke about it more than once. Can review it again. The Rabbi Natan is famous for his statement. Tosfos never quotes it, but the Rosh and the Ran quoted that there were two shibudim. There's a shibud aguf and a shibud nechasim. If you borrow money from somebody else, there's a shibud aguf, you got to pay. And then there's a shibud nechasim, that even if you sell your property to a lekeach, the malva has a right to go to the lekuchas, and if the loiva is broke, if there comes manapiro in time to pay, and the loiva is broke, he doesn't have any money, so the malva has a right to collect from the lukuchas and to collect from the assignment. So that's called shibud nechasim. Shibud aguf means he has an obligation to pay. Let's say it comes, I lent him $100,000 for 5 years. Comes the end of the 5 years, doesn't have any money. Has no money, has no money. So we don't sell him as an eved ivri. He says, you don't sell a person as an eved ivri if he doesn't have money to pay the halvah. You sell him as an eved ivri if he stole. There's the pasuk in the Haftar and Sefer Melachim. The woman came to Elisha Hanavi and she said, my husband was Avadya Hanavi, one of your Talmidim, and he used to borrow money in order to support. There were a lot of Talmidim. There were Talmidim. Elisha had Talmidim who were preparing to become Nevi'im. Elisha Hanavi had Talmidim. Elisha Hanavi had Talmidim. So, Avadya was a Talmid of Elisha, and he borrowed a fortune of money. The Gemara even says he borrowed beribis, because it was bikuach nefesh, because the Nevi'im didn't have any food to eat. And then he died, he never paid back the money. So the Almana of Avadya comes to Elisha Hanavi and says, the ones who lent the money to my husband, Avadya, who passed away, are coming, they want to take my children as slaves, to sell them as slaves. What kind of din is that? So Tosfos writes, because that is during the lifetime of Achav HaRosha, and Achav didn't follow Dine HaTor, he used to follow Dine in the Machusha, he used to follow Dine B'nei Noach. So by B'nei Noach, there's such an idea, that if the person doesn't pay, you sell him as a slave. But by us, there's no such halacha, and halacha, there is no such din. You have no right. That's the drosha on the part. The nimka b'kidavasa v'lo b'chov. You have no right to sell a person. So there's a shibud aguf. Shibud aguf for sure is the raisa. Shibud aguf. That's the shach in the beginning of Siman Lamedes. Has a long piece. He says shibud aguf. Everybody agrees is the raisa. Everybody agrees now. In the days of the Gemara, there was an opinion that there's no shibud aguf either in Medrash Torah. It's just priyas balchay mitzvah. It's a religious act to pay back the money that you borrow. Then the Gemara asked the religious act, what if the guy, the loiva, borrowed $100,000 and says, I'm not religious, I'm not orthodox, I don't like tefillin, I don't daven, I don't keep kosher, I don't want to pay back the money either. So why do you force him to pay? Is freedom of religion? It's not a part of his religion. So the Gemara says, because kaifan ala mitzvahs, the reason why we force the loiva to pay, because if it's a good Jewish government, the Jewish government will force all the people to observe all the mitzvahs. The guy says, I don't want to eat matzah. I don't want to sit in sukkah. So you beat him up till he'll give in and he'll eat the matzah and he will sit in the sukkah. But the Gemara rejects that opinion. That opinion that Pias Balcheb is only a mitzvah, it's not even a Shibir Aguf. Even Shibir Aguf is Lav Deraisa, that's rejected in the Gemara. So that's what the Shach says. In the days of the Amoraim, there was an opinion in Gemara Erechim. There was such an opinion that Pias Balcheb is only a mitzvah, it's a religious act. And if the loiber refuses to pay, we'll koif him to pay because koif in all our mitzvahs. But that the Gemara itself rejects that we paskin that the more than priyas balchayim mitzvah, more than a mitzvah, there's a shibir aguf. There's a shibir aguf. What about shibir nechosim, the ability to collect from the lukuchas? So that's the machloikas, but the shibur deraisa, lav deraisa, goes on shibir nechosim. There's no machloikas on the shibir aguf. The Gemara is machri against that minority opinion that it's only a mitzvah. So for sure, Shibir Aguf is the rice. But Shibir Nechosim, that's the Machlokes. Yesterday we mentioned there's a question between the Ritva and Rashi and Kiddushan on the Afyu Gimel. What do you mean, Shibur Alav the rice? Even if you wrote Peferish and Nishtar, Kol Nechosim Mishubadim L'choyb Zeh, also you can't collect from the Lekuchas. So that was the Ritva, had such an extreme position. The Ritva understood the Machlokes is part of Shibur. What does it mean, Shibur Nechosim? So the Ritva says, Shibur Nechosim means it's a kinyan lachatzoyin. The loiva is makne all of his karkoyas to the malva with respect to gvias achayim. So the Ritva learns that was the machloikas in the Gemara, whether Shibur deraisa or lav deraisa, is there a concept of kinyan lachatzoyin on the level of deraisa? Maybe there is no such thing. We assume there is such a thing. Whether we hold it's deraisa derabbanan, that's a big machloikas that we paskin. Whether Shibur deraisa or lav deraisa. So the Ritva learns, even if sheep do beferish, there's still a machlokes whether such a concept exists on the level of the rice. The Gemara talks about it. We mentioned yesterday when I mafkid a behemoth by the shamachinim or the shamasochar, it's implicit that if he'll be shilim alei rotzal yishava, shamachinim is only chayiv on pshia. So let's say there was a gneiv aveda. He could have easily sworn it was nignav nevad and I don't have to pay. Instead of swearing, I'm a shamachinim. And I'm not chayving an eva aveda, and it was a greiver, an aveda, he's prepared to pay. So then the Gemara said, it's implicit, there's an umder in the muchach, that the mafkid, when he gave the behemoth to the shemachinam, he meant to be makna the behemoth to him, lekvelo. You should own the behemoth with respect to kefil, in case the behemoth will ever be stolen. And you'll be a nice fellow, you'll volunteer to pay rather than to swear, and to give me, the mafkid, the aggravation of getting the police and finding who the ganef is. So if you'll be nice about it, you'll pay. So it's self-understood that I makna the behemoth to you with respect to you having the right to collect kefil. Such a thing exists. Or let's say the Gemara gave the case. I have a tree, and the tree every year bears fruit, and I'm going to sell you the fruit that's going to grow shnas tovshin pei hay. It didn't grow yet. The tree exists, but the tovshin pei hay didn't come yet. So the Gemara says, even though I can't, we pass can eilan meichadov shalob b'liyolim. I can't sell you the pears that didn't grow yet, but I can sell you the tree which does exist with respect to a kinya lachatzayim. The tree belongs to me for all other intents and purposes. The tree belongs to you, the lekech, with respect to the right of aroy hashbach, akarka shali hishbiach. If you own the tree, so any pears that grow on the tree belong to you. So I give you ownership of the tree only with respect to the kinyan of Aroy Ashbach of Tovshin Pehe. All other intents and purposes, the tree is mine. For that one purpose, the tree is yours. So the Ritva learns that's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether that's a din deraisa, din derabbanan. Can you make such a thing as a kinyan lachatzayim? Or the Gemara Gittin we mentioned yesterday. Gemara Gittin has a funny case. They're discussing what's a din. I have an Eved Kanaini. If the Shoamuad kills an Eved Kanaini, it's this week's Seder. Parshas Mishpatim. In Europe, they used to have Chevre Shas. Rav Meir Shapira instituted the Daf Yomi that you learn a blood Gemara day. They used to have a Chevre Shas, and many communities had a Chevre Shas. They didn't learn a blood Gemara a day. Maybe they learned more than a blood a day. Maybe they learned less. When he first started the Daf Yomi, most of the Balabatim used to learn more than a blood Gemara every day. And a lot of the Rabbanim were upset about why Rav Meir Shapira instituted the Daf Yomi is going to limit the learning. People are only going to learn the Blat, then they're going to call it quits. They didn't realize that. Rav Meir Shapira looked into the future. People are the people who learn the Daf Yomi today, that's a stretch for them. Not so easy. He saved the Torah. He didn't minimize. When he first came out with the Daf Yomi, many of the Chassidish Rebbes were opposed because the Chassidim were learning more than a blood Gemara a day. And he said, every community, they didn't have a Daf Yomi. He said, but they had a Chevra Shas where they learned Gemara. So the annual dinner for the Chevra Shas, the celebration, always used to be the week of Parshas Mishpatim. Because Mishpatim has all the dinim of Noshin and Ezekiel. Whoever knows Mishpatim inside and out, they really deserve smicha, yori, yori, yadin, yadin. I remember I used to sit in shul next to Balabas. He was a Litvak. He got stuck in Germany, but he was a Litvak. So he said his brother learned in Slabodka, and the Rosh Yeshiva told his brother, if he wants smicha, he'll fahera my parshas Mishpatim. If you know Mishpatim from the beginning to the end, every drasha of the Torah Shavapeh, every din, I'll give you smicha, yari, 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 yari. Yeah. Most of the halacha, most of the Torah Shavapeh is in Parshas Mishpatim. That's why the Chevra Shas used to have the annual dinner. It used to be the week of Parshas Mishpatim. So again, so the Gemara has a discussion, if I sell you an Eved Kenayni, the Eved Kenayni should belong to you with respect to one detail. In case of Shamud will kill the Eved Kenayni, you should have the right to collect the Shloshim Shalavim. For all other intents and purposes, the Eved Kenayni belongs to me. But in case he'll be killed by Shoamuad, you have the right to collect. So Gemara has a suffix in Gitman, Perek HaSholech. Is that also good? Akinya lachatzoy. So the Ritva learns that that's the fundamental machloikis, whether Shibura derais or lav derais, because Shibin Lachase means Akinya lachatzoy. Can there be such a thing on the level of derais as Kinya lachatzoy? Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns there in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel. Some of the people showed me this morning. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns, if you wrote the Farish and the Shtar, and I'm a Shabbat, all of mine chasim to you, everybody agrees that that Shibuta deraisa. If you didn't write it, and we say nonetheless, there's a Shibuta nechasim, so that's the machloikas, whether that's the deraisa derabbana. But Kinyan lachatzon, everybody holds, works on the level of the deraisa. Yeah. So the Shach writes, how do we paskan on this? What's the difference, halacha lemaisa? Are there any differences, whether Shibuta deraisa or lav deraisa? So the top Tosfos on Mem Beis says, yeah, this is one of the differences, but we don't paskin like this. We paskin that it's not toli zeh b'zeh. We're going to have to discuss it yet. We paskin it's not toli zeh b'zeh. So what are the differences? Whether shibura derais or lav derais. So we mentioned that there's a seifan kiddushin. Shita l'no d'lami, one of the from the days of the Rishonim, who has six nafkaminas, very rare, never comes up in a million years, as six nafkaminas and kiddushin nafkid gimel, whether shibura derais or lav derais. The Shach didn't have a shita l'chno d'lebi, so he doesn't have any nafkaminas. So getting back again, so when you have a din derais, sometimes in later generations, the chachamim felt that they're going to change the din derais. How do they have the right to change it? So let's say in dinim ominous, they're going to change the din in dinim ominous. Let's say we learned the Tosfos on the first daf. Tosfos shita is that garmi, is only chai mederabbanan. The Ramban disagreed, and the Shach says we paskin like Tosfos. Garmi is only dainina din de garmi is only knas mederabbanan. It's not a din matter. What right do they have to change the din? The answer is hefker bezna hefker. So the one who takes the money, I was masik you medina de garmi, and I pay you the money. I don't want to pay the money. Bezna forcing me to pay the money. Why are you not in violation of like sigzo? Take the money that you're not entitled to. So the answer is, Bezen is authorized to make whatever changes they want to make in Dinim Ominous based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. What if they make a Takani shouldn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Cholias B'Shabbos? That can't be based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. Yeah, it's a new klal. Yishkech b'yarach ha'chomim l'akadov menator. There's a pasuk v'shmartem is mishmarti. The concluding pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, v'shmartem is mishmarti means asum mishmeres l'mishmarti, asay siog la'torah. First Mishnah in Ovis, and one of the three policies of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah was Aseis Yog LaTorah. That's why the Baal HaTanya writes Ruba de Ruba of the Gzeiros de Rabbanon were introduced in Mizman Bayisheni, because the Mishnah says that was one of the three policies of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Aseis Yog LaTorah, Mishmatem is Mishmati. Do they even have the right to make they have a right to tell me I'm not allowed to write with my left hand, even though it's kalach hayad. Minatoria, you're not allowed to write with your right hand if you're a writer, but to write with the left hand is ayde shinui. But Midirabbanan, they say you're not allowed to. So that's Ishmatem is Mishmati. Then I tell you you're not allowed to carry in a Rishusarab and a Karmelis, you're allowed to carry. So Midirabbanan, they said you're not allowed to carry in a Karmelis. So fine, that's Ishmatem is Mishmati. But how did they know that? How did the rabbis know they had a right to do Akiras Dotmen HaTorah? They have a right to tell you not to listen to the Torah, not to blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Hashabbos. You mevat la mitzvah min HaTorah. How did the Chachamim know Yeshkech B'yar Chachamim? How did they know they had the authority? Laka Dotmen HaTorah B'shei V'al Tassim. That's a good question. So Rabbi Chana Basman has a whole long essay. It's called Kuntres Divrei Sofer. Part of that Kuntres he wrote when he was in America, raising money for his yeshiva. So in the Kuntres Divrei Sofer, he suggests that maybe that's the pshat in the pasuk. And Rashi Achumish quotes from the Sifrei, so the simple reading in Rashi quoting the Tanoim and the Sifrei, sounds like the Psak Din is binding, even if the Bezin made a mistake. So we mentioned that that's what Herman Wook taught here for 2 years in the college. And he said that the theme of his book, the Kain Mutiny, is that authority is binding even when it's an error. And it's based on that Rashi, on Kunish. So the student told him that that's not pshat in Rashi, that there is no such din, that if you know that Bezin made a mistake, you're not by the father of the psak of the Bezin. So what does it mean, afila yimin shu smal al smal shu yimin? So the Ramban has, in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Ramban asked that question. The Ramban says, afila nirin b'yeinecha yimin shu smal. Even if the layman from his perspective thinks that what the rabbis say makes no sense at all, but the layman thinks a lot of times that the doctor made a mistake also. The doctor prescribes whatever medication. How can it be? The other person had a sickness and the doctor prescribed this and he got better. How can you prescribe this? Akasha. If you know medicine, you know that it's not akasha. Chemistry and physics and biology don't always follow logic. You can't ask akasha in chemistry or physics or biology. The Gemara later in Yesh Nechma. In biology, you can't ask any kashas. So the Ramban learns, afilu nirein b'yeinecha yimin shu smol, even if in the eyes of the layman, he thinks the rabbis must be making a mistake that absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. But if you know b'vada that they're making a mistake, then you're not allowed to follow the psak. That's what the Ramban learns. So Rabbi Chana Basman suggests maybe the Chachamim had a tradition, afilu yimin shu smol, if it says in the Chumash you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and the rabbis tell you, please do us a favor, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias b'Shabbos, because I can guarantee you many people will forget and they'll be mechal Shabbos. So that's what it means, yimin shu smol al smol shu yimin. They tell you, don't follow what it says in the Chumash. Not that they made a mistake. They tell you, it says in the Chumash that on Rosh Hashanah, even Chalias B'Shabbos, you have to blow shofar, but with the power vested, the authority vested in us, as rabbis of the Bez Nagodol, we make Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and you shouldn't do it. That's what it means. Maybe that's the mocker for this institution. Eshkech B'Achachamim, L'Akadav Manatorah, B'Shevi Altasa. So the Chachamim have the right to change dinim and dinim ominous, that's Garmi is only Chai Midirabbanan. Yeah, I have 100, 1,000 cases like that. They change the dinim and dinim amnes. That's based on the koyach of Hefke Bezna Hefke. And then they have the authority to change dinim to make exerish, matemis, mishmati, if it's what to be concerned about. If it's a milsa deshchicha, a far fetched chashash, or it's an insignificant chashash because they're only concerned maybe someone will violate an Isa Dirabbanan, say, well, exerish that, then I have no right to make exerish. But if it's reasonable, then you change the din. So that's what the premise of this discussion is. You only change the din when there's a real concern. And you only change it to the extent that it's necessary to change it. You don't change, if it's not broken, you don't fix it. So the Gemara has this machlokes on Kufayin Hayim base, where the Shibud Nechasim is deraisa derabbanan. So the Gemara says, according to one opinion, Shibuda deraisa both by milva b'shtar and milva b'peh. There's a Shibud Nechasim on both. And the rabbis changed it in Milva Al Peh. Why they canceled the Shibud Nechasim and Milva Al Peh? Because of the Pseida de Lekuchas. Milva Al Peh is Leis Lekola. Why is Leis Lekola? Because man, a halvor, Milva pez leis lekol kazman de Yosef b'tzino Yosef. He doesn't want everybody to know. Keich de lo litzalu nichse alei. He doesn't want the public to know that he's pressed for money, because then when he's going to start selling his property, they're not going to pay him the full amount. They know that he's pressed for money. So he doesn't want anybody to know about it. So the Gemara says, if you have a milva bishtar, that's islei kolam. So the public will know. If you have a milva balped, halvoa balped ifnei edim, that's going to be leislei kolam. If you have a mechiras karka balped, that's going to be islei kolam. The Gemara said, but halvoa balped, that's going to be leislei kolam. Mandi Yosef etzino Yosef. So there's going to be a pseida de lekucha. It's going to ruin the whole real estate industry. No one's going to want to buy any karka. They may buy a karka thinking that it's a valuable investment. Then it'll come out that the one who sold them the karka was a loiva, and they're going to take away the karka from me because of his halavos. So I'll lose the whole, I'll lose the $1 million that I paid for the karka. I lose all the money. So if you hold shibuta deraisa, then they change the din by milva alpeh. They said, Milva Peh Leis Lekolo, there'll be Pseidah Vilkuch. If you hold Shibud Olav Deraisa, on the level of Deraisa, the mother can never take away from the Lekucha. So what they changed was Fakert. Milva Peh, they left the din the way it is on the level of Deraisa. They changed the din by Milva Bishtar. They said, Kadesh Al Tin Al Gamus Bifnei Lovin. A fellow's going to be a nice guy, a goody good. He's going to lend money to the people in need. Then the one who needed the money is going to gamble away all the money. Going to come after 5 years. He doesn't have a penny to pay, and I won't be able to collect from him. Why did I trust him in the first place? Why did I lend him the fortune and money in the first place? Because he has so much real estate. Then after I lent him the $1 million, then he goes and he gambles away all of his money, and he has nothing. So they had to make, they felt compelled, so people will learn a lesson. Don't be kind to your neighbors. When people need a halva, don't lend them any money. He said, we don't want that to happen. The Chumash says that at the end of the Shemitah year, all the debts are canceled. So, Yisham Ulchad Pen Yadav and Lavav Chodaya Lema Kovah Shnas HaSheva Shnas HaShemitah Vura Ein Chod Yachich HaHevim V'Lasitim Lo. He won't want to lend them any money. So that's not right. So in order to encourage people who have money, that they should lend the money to those in need, so they made a Takana de Rabbana based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. Either they made a Takana that in Milval Pei you should not collect from the Lekuchas, and they made a takana milva b'shtar you should collect. Either, however you say it, they made a takana based on hefka b'zna hefka. So the tzorich was, kadesh lo tinal delis b'fnei lo. So the Tosis explains, if the din menat Torah is that both on milva alpeh, milva b'shtar, there is a shiba nochasim, and the only reason why you're changing the din deraisa is because pseida de lekuchas, because man de Yosef b'tzina Yosef milva peh leis lekolam, and you're going to destroy the whole real estate industry. No one's going to want to buy real estate from anybody else. So maspik, if you change the din that a milva peh you don't collect from lekuchas, there's no need to change the din that you can't collect from the yisamim either. The yisamim didn't pay for it. The yisamim got to be rusha. There's no need to change the din deraisa. So you leave the din deraisa. So then you say, Milval, if you hold Shibuda is deraisa, then you only change the din, and Milva Alpeh is not Geiva from the Lekuchas. But you leave it on the level of deraisa. Milva Alpeh is Geiva from the Yisayman. Why not? They're not losing any money. They didn't pay for the karka. The father died and they got a pirush. But if you hold like the other opinion, that Shibuda loved deraisa, and Atara, you never collect from the Lekuchas. So what did they change? They changed the other way. Because based on Hefke Bez Nefke, they changed the din and they said that a Milva Mishtar, you can collect from the Lekuchas, Kedei Shalot Tuna Delis Bifnei Lovin. But Milva Peh, they didn't change anything. Why not? Let the malva be careful. Let him always make sure that he has a shtar. There's a solution. You don't have to worry. Kadesh la tenandalis b'fnei lovin. We should make a takana. Even milva al peh is also goyvim in halakuchas. We made a takana that milva b'shtar is goyvim in halakuchas. So whoever is concerned can insist that he's going to lend the money b'shtar. But But more than that, they don't have to change. So Tosis explains that's really what it says in the Gemara. Kufan hay, kufan vav. That's the source of this machlokes. Well, the milvah peh, the Mishnah says milvah peh is not goy v'min halukuchos, that everybody agrees. Either that's a din deraisa because shibud olav deraisa, or it's a din derabanan because of pseida the lukuchos. The nafkamina will be, what about milvah peh? Are you goy v'min hayisaimim or not? You only change the din to the extent that it's necessary. So Tosis explains why it's totally zebizeh. But halacha l'maisa, we pask a milvah peh is govman ayorshim, then a govman halakuches, regardless of whether you pask a shibud deraisa or lav deraisa. So we hold that it's not necessarily totally zebizeh. Not necessarily totally zebizeh. Even if you hold to shibud or lav deraisa, still they made a takana that you should be able to collect milvah al peh from the yisaimim also. They never made a takon you should collect from the lukuchas, made a takon you should collect from the yisaimim. So that's how it's totally zeh b'zeh. Yeah, then Tosis mentions, in the top Tosis they throw in a lot of information. They're throwing in, they're quoting from the Gemara, Kufayin Hei. The Gemara there says, in what cases do you collect from the Lukuchas? So, Milva Bishtar, you collect from the Lukuchas. Or if Omad Bedin, Tosis is quoting the Gemara. If Omad, Kishomad Bedin, where does it say? Where's the Gemara? It's on that daf, I think, Kufayin Hei. No? Omad Bedin is befavored there. I think Kufayin Hei, Omad Beis. The Beznan is sitting up the Habor. Yeah, the last line of Kufayin Hei Beis. If Amad Bedin, then we say it's Islaka. Let's say there was a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon, and Bezdin passed in favor of Reuven, Amad Bedin, and they gave a psak. So even though the whole thing was a Milbal Peh, after Bezdin gives a psak din, Amad Bedin makes it that creates a Shiba Nechasim. Amad Bedin creates a Shiba Nechasim. Bezdin has a koyach of Hefke Bezdin Hefke. So they have the ability to create a Shiba Nechasim, even though there was no Shiba Nechasim. Even though it's a Milbal Peh, there is no Shiba Nechasim. They created Shim Nechasim. So either Milvad Bishtar, you created Shim Nechasim, or Amad Bedin creates a Shim Nechasim. And then there's one opinion that we don't accept. Milvad Ksuvah Batur, Kiksuvah Bishtar Dami. What does it mean, Milvad Ksuvah Batur? That's not accepted by Halacha. There are different types of Chiyuvah Imamim. Let's say if I buy an automobile and I have to pay $40,000, that's a Hischaivis Midas. I agreed to buy the automobile and to pay whatever the going price is. I buy a house and I agree to pay. I borrow $1,000 and I agree to pay. So that's a Hischaivis Midas. I buy a piece of candy and I agree to pay. So that's a Hischaivis Midas. And then there's a Milveh Haksuvah Batur. Milveh doesn't always mean a loan. Milveh means a Chiyuv Mamon. So Milveh Haksuvah Batur is like Oynes and Mefata, Moitzu Shema, Choyvel, Mazik. I never accepted it upon myself. The Torah imposes a Chiyuv upon me. That's called Milveh Haksuvah Batur, as opposed to Milveh She'en Haksuvah Batur. And today's Seder, it says if you borrowed money, you have to pay. Halvo also says in the Chumash, you have to pay. But Tosis writes in Ksuvah, even if it weren't written in the Chumash, we would on our own, you have to pay. You accepted it, it's a Hischaivis Midas. You accepted it upon yourself. So these are two different categories of Chiyuv Imamim. Milveh Haksuvah Batur means a Chiyuv that the Torah imposes, Choyvo Mazik, Knas, and Milveh She'en Haksuvah Batur, Hischaivis Midas. That's the Meha Mekach, if you buy something, or a Halvoa, something like that. That's a Schiris Poelim is a Shaila. If I hire a worker and I promise I'm going to pay him whatever, I hire a painter and he, I agree to pay him $7,000 to paint my apartment. So is that called the Hischaivis Midas, or is that a chiv that the Torah imposes? That's a discussion in Rishayim. So there's one opinion in the Gemara. We don't pass like that. The Milvah Ksuvah Batayra is Kiksuvah Bishtar Dami, even though there was no shtar, there will be a Shiva Nechaz. We don't pass like that. Okay, we'll stop here. Good. We'll have to finish the Gemara. Tomorrow is Thursday. Often on Thursday we do Parshas HaShavua instead of going further. So usually, if we had 4 days of learning Gemara, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so then we need a break of Chumash. I don't know, do we need a break? So maybe think about it and let me know. Would you want to have Parsha tomorrow? You want to have Gemara?